recorder so we can do an intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. We're on our way in Alamos with the family. I'm here with BB. Say hi, BB.
Hi, BB.
Perfect. I'm here with Emily. Say hi, Emily.
Hello.
I'm here with Yuya. Say hi, Yuya.
Hola, desde Alamos.
And we're here just killing the last weekend of Easter vacation and doing the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club.
In Alamos. Don't worry, we're wearing masks.
We're wearing masks and social distancing and enjoying ourselves. And we're making our way back to the bed and breakfast we like to stay at. This is an intro for April 6th, 2021. Anybody have anything else to add to the intro? Anybody else?
I'll go back to school. I'm done.
You're done with school?
I'm done.
Oh, and I see our rancho coming up where we're staying.
It's right next to a cemetery.
It's right next to a cemetery. That makes it better.
Yes. Here are dogs.
There are dogs all around us. And we're going to let you go because we've got a plan to use a projector and watch Tom and Jerry.
Hey, cartoons.
Cartoons. That's how we're going to finish up our weekend. This is Scott Stimson, your host.
I am Emily Stimson, the favorite child.
The favorite child. This is...
Hello, this is the mama.
And this is...
Hi.
Who are you?
Viviana.
The...
Little one.
The baby. I got this. The daughter. The something.
The e-boy.
So close. Try it again.
I actually forgot.
I'm Scott Stimson, your host.
And I'm Viviana Stimson, the daughter. Something like that.
And we're here to say, tech on.
Tech on.
Until next week. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All of these intros are chaos.
Meaning to call people and the one receiving the calls, because I'm the only one who's always on the phone.
That's right. Yeah. Emily isn't the phone person. Bibiana's the phone person.
Bibiana, do you recognize the animal behind me?
That looks like some weird koala.
No, it's from South America. It's a sloth.
Thank you.
It's one of the seven deadly sins.
Sloth.
Oh!
It doesn't look that deadly, though.
Not really, no.
You see the babies? You can barely see them.
No.
One of them.
Oh, you can barely see them.
There's three of them.
In Paul area.
You can barely
see two of them, Paul.
Yeah. On Zoom, you can see them a little better.
Hey, Fred, I didn't see you get connected there. How are you doing this morning?
Before we get started, can you tell me what news you read down here? I read Radar and Opinion, but what do you read?
Oh, as far as local stuff? I read both of those. I follow on Twitter and on Facebook, both of those, as well as the yellow journalist. What's that called?
That was the one I want to know.
FM 105. I guess its core is a radio station, but they write articles and have a newspaper, too.
But that's on Facebook, right?
Yeah. I think I followed it off to their website a couple of times for something specific, but in general, I just read... They're from their Facebook group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was reading that one, those two, and then Imparcial, but...
Yeah, Imparcial is another one. And La Voz de Puerto is a good one, too. That's a traditional newspaper from Guaymas.
I just texted one of my online... His friend, also Mexican. They're actually 100% Mexican.
Yeah.
They live in America, right? So I texted him, oh, yeah, I'm still in Semana Santa. And they just texted me back... Oh, I thought that was a Christmas thing, and I just go, girl, you're Mexican!
And Viviana, we all live in America, even those of us down here. That is up there, the United States of America. This is the United States of Mexico.
It's true. America is the name of the continents that we're on. We're in the Northern American continent, and there's Central America and South America, but it's all the same.
That's America.
So we're all Americans.
pet peeve when I cross the border from Mexico to the United States of America. It says, welcome to America.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's one of my huge...
I can rival that with a pet peeve with cousins that live in the lower 48, welcoming me to the United States every time I came back from Alaska.
Oh. That may be a little worse.
Yeah.
So if a Mexican says they're going to Los Estados Unidos, you could say, Los Estados Unidos, ¿quién?
De cuál? De cuál estados?
¿Cuál Estados Unidos?
Sí, no es Unidos.
Hay más que uno.
Well, this is my low tech device here.
Oh, there you go.
It's a 2-cup French press.
Oh my goodness!
Oh wow, that's cool, Paul. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Judy.
No, I was saying great. That's nice.
So fascinating.
That is wild. So you fill it with hot water like you're making tea, but then you press coffee grounds down in it.
Yeah, so you start with the coffee and then add near boiling water.
Our first tech topic of the day.
And then you put the lid on and push the thing down. You're supposed to wait 4 or 5 minutes, but I can't wait that long. But the thing is that it's 2 cups, and before that, I've been using a Melitta 1-cup paper filter.
Okay. Which,
and I have to, that takes about 5 minutes to do anyway. But so this gives me 2 cups, 16 full ounces.
Hey, Paul, you don't happen to have a name brand for that. It would just make a great gift to my parents.
Yeah.
They're not on yet, so don't say anything to them.
Okay. It's called Big Sky Bistro, and it's made in Montana. And they've got pictures for at least 3 seasons. I'm trying to get it. Doesn't like it.
Yeah, you need to push it closer to your camera because it's getting lost in your background. Or maybe pull it back towards your face. Maybe it's... Now give it a sweet little kiss on the side like you love your mug. Yeah, that works, Paul.
So
the mug's happy,
so this
too.
Okay, and you'll never guess where I found it. Amazon.
On Amazon.
I was actually going to ask them, like, before past the Amazon link.
Well, on a semi-tech topic, yesterday I was trying to order Canon 145 printer cartridges from...
My nemesis. The 145s and the 146s.
I've got lots of 146s. I can't get a 145.
In this country, I felt like I was being strong-armed by the mafia every time I found one for sale.
Well,
I could buy a printer and extra ink for that price.
I have... Well, that's what I did last year, but then figured out that that really wasn't working for me to get a new printer every year.
Right.
So I was on Mercado Libre. And I get it all ready to order, and it charges my credit card. This is yesterday evening. And then it comes back and says, no, you didn't put all the verification documentation in. It wanted either a copy of my passport downloaded to their site or my IFE that nobody there at their help desk could tell me what that meant.
This is on Mercados Libre.
Yes.
I mean, I know that the vendors there are very similar to eBay in that they get to choose the payment method that they'll accept.
No, they wanted, so they took, I downloaded a copy, a front of my Permanente, but it would not accept the back of my Permanente. And I was talking to this woman, chatting with her, and she said, well, you have to use your passport. And I said, no way am I downloading my passport onto your website.
Yeah, this all sounds really sketchy. I think I would have been turned off right from the send me your Permanente.
So I got a customer service, what's that called?
Is it Canon specifically you're working with?
No.
A third-party seller.
I can't remember the name, something. But anyway, it wasn't them. And so I call my credit card company calls me for fraud because... they put
because they're as worried as I am at this point.
And it was charged, but I said, well, I'll just wait to dispute it to see what happens because I think it'll drop off. That's what the tech rep from Mercado Libre told me it would happen.
Okay.
We'll see.
I don't normally think of Mercado Libre as being very English friendly. Have you had a good experience?
Actually, yes. I chatted on their helpline and I asked for an English speaker and she did very well.
Oh, awesome. That's a great report.
From the chat, you know. So she got a great review, but the company itself got a really crummy one. So I ended up ordering from Amazon Mexico at more money.
Yeah, what, it was 750 pesos?
No, it ended up being 1,000 pesos.
That cartridge is going to kill me. Oh, you got the extra large. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, yeah, they on Amazon.
I have three printers right now, and none of them I can buy ink at a reasonable price for. I am seriously tempted to just go buy a new printer.
Well, then, if you're looking, though, for a new printer, they don't have those cheap Canons anymore. Now they've switched over to, I'm thinking HP or something, and they're not...
well, they're all cheap. Junk. They're all junk. They've got this huge market of printers under $100, and all of them will fail in a moment. And
in the U.S., all the shelves that had Canon before are empty. This was last summer, and I could not get a new printer there for under $100 U.S.
Wow. Well, and I'm thinking that the trouble finding these ink cartridges right now are still their waves of inventory shortage problems because of COVID. Because I've seen...
I think that's an excuse.
Well, I mean, across the board, like, I've been shopping for computers, and one week there is no selection. The next week there's a huge selection on the market. Next week we're back to no selection again. It really feels like compression waves of production.
I went to JG, and he told me I could probably get knockoff one Express computers.
You're talking about, yeah, like third-party cartridges?
It's kind of over there by, that little meat market there on... maybe not Sudan, but it's back in there somewhere, and it's called Express Computers or something like that.
I don't know it, I guess. But I'm not a big fan of recharged, refilled cartridges.
Right. That's why when I went to the States to get my COVID vaccine, I bought, you'll love this one, I bought a new Canon printer in the U.S.
Okay.
To take back with me to the U.S.,
okay.
Because they had them for $50, and I was able to buy a pack, like a double black and a double color pack of ink.
Is this the printer that you're looking for ink for now?
No.
No, this is you just did this.
Yeah, the one I'm looking for ink for now is the one that I have here, that I have like three of the color cartridges, but no black. So my tech question is, what happens if I put a color cartridge in the black slot?
It won't work.
Oh.
It'll just get mad at you. It'll give you error messages and it won't work correctly. In fact, the cartridges are so smart now. They have been for years, but they have a little computer inside them and they have to have a conversation with the printer before they even start working. And
And they do tell you, they do talk to the computer and say, no, she bought this cartridge in the U.S.
Well, HP tried to do that for a little while, but I don't think that's going on anymore. That went on for a short period of time, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I think they have cross-cartridge compatibility.
I had to take my Canon cartridges back that I had purchased in the U.S. for my Mexican printer.
Wow, I had not heard that about Canon. My only experiences have been with the HP brand.
Yeah, no, it happened to me with Canon.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it helps, I have not heard any of those kinds of stories in a long time. Whereas that was one of the big topics of Computer Club for a few years there. We were talking about it.
But this just happened last summer, who knows?
You have a Canon model you would not recommend because you can't buy the ink in Mexico.
Well, you can. I did. We'll see if it comes. It's supposed to come sometime next week from Amazon, Mexico.
I meant your U.S. Canon that couldn't use Mexican cartridges or vice versa, the one you were just talking about.
Well, I've got a Mexican purchased one, and then I purchased a U.S. one in Nogales, Arizona, to take back with me to Colorado.
Hey, did they take... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, because I could not buy a printer last summer anywhere in Colorado Springs under $100.
They don't, by chance, take the same cartridges, do they? No, of course they don't. Of course they don't. Why would there be incentive to continue to make the same cartridge? Because if there's an abundance of them, they would charge less for them.
Exactly. So that was my semi-tech issues for the last while.
Well, and now you're going to leave because you've got to take the dog to the vet.
I am in about 10 minutes. So that was my tech topic.
Well, thank you, Judy. And it is 10 o'clock. So let me say thank you to all of you that have showed up today. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions with one of his favorite sidekicks, his daughter, Bibiana.
Hi.
She's decided to join us because she's still on Easter vacation. And we get together every Tuesday at 10 Arizona time, which threw Jim off this morning, I think, because I was asked, did you change the time? I said, I'm the only one that hasn't changed the time. Bye, Judy.
I haven't changed the time either.
Oh, that's right. You're here in San Carlos. Of course, you're on the same time.
Arizona's still on the same time.
That's true, too. So Chester's here at the same time. How are you doing, Chester?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So I hope people have brought tech topics for today. I don't really have any follow-up. If anybody has any follow-up from last week, please share anything that you looked up, anything that is working now that wasn't working last week. If you have any questions about last week, anything about Cody, if anybody's interested in Cody. Nobody's interested in Cody. Judy jinxed it last week by saying she'll never use it. Well, I brought some topics that we could get on to if people are interested. I think Fred, where'd Fred go? There's Fred. Fred sent me a link to the 25 greatest heist movies ever.
Did you say heist?
Heist movies. Sorry, Chester, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Yeah, like robbing a bank, robbing a train.
Oh. Robbing a
train.
I heard, how is that illegal? Yo, let me just rob this tree.
Tree robbers.
You'll never see it coming.
Actually, there's more truth to that than you can imagine. You know, people around here have gone out into the desert and taken palms and stuck it in their yard.
Here's the though. I understand the stealing a cactus here because that is actually illegal.
Right.
But just like, there's a tree in the park. Let me steal it. The kids will never know.
Okay. Now, none of this
master
has to do with
plans.
With Fred's link of the best heist movies out there. But I thought it was his way of just blanketing a bunch of movies to recommend. And I've got that link right here. Copy. The greatest heist movies of all time.
What was number one?
The Asphalt Jungle. I've never heard of it. It's Marilyn Monroe?
Asphalt.
Huh.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of it, but I might add it to my list. Re-fifi.
You haven't heard from it because of your age.
Yeah, I suspect that's the case. Thank you, Chester. Have you seen it, Chester?
Oh, I saw it many, many years ago, but I, you know, at 86, I can't remember what it was about.
Reefy. Another movie I've never heard of.
He was blacklisted in his home country. American director Jules Dassin went from France and produced it on what many people still consider to be the finest heist film ever made. Rififi bears many marks of influence from Asphalt Jungle, but takes things into more stylish territory, particularly when it comes to centerpiece's heist. It unfolds completely, free of dialogue, but the film has set it up so well that the silence is enough to keep you in the edge of your seat. It even features the Crux descending in their target
mode. Okay. I don't know if my sidekick is adding color, but she's definitely adding volume.
I was doing a dramatic reading for you guys.
You were.
had to give it a motion.
Let me.
That was a good dramatic reading. She ought to learn the line. In a world where such and such happens, you know, remember that guy?
That's right. In a world where Samana Santa had been stopped for a second year in a row. Hey, that's been one of the biggest surprises throughout all this. Pulling it off once I thought was a miracle, but doing it twice was just unfounded. They did it. I think that they did a really good job of getting the word out by turning people away on a Monday. Hundreds of people lined to get into San Carlos being turned away on a Monday afternoon.
Really?
Because it went across the news everywhere, I think people just decided it was too expensive to risk getting turned away. Drive all the way there and get turned away.
Well, and also the requirement to have a COVID test.
Well, you saw some innovative Mexican entrepreneur put together a rapid COVID test right at the beginning of town.
Yes.
Well, and I was surprised that, I should link to it as well. I was surprised that the authorities were so on top of it that they were collecting false documents. They were passing around to each other what the false documents looked like so that they wouldn't allow people in. All that caught me by surprise. I really thought our big problem was going to be enforcement.
Well, they had the Marines in force.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about Cocherit? Did they keep people away?
It was closed too, I read.
Oh, yeah? I didn't read any news about it.
Even though Miramar beaches were open.
Yeah. Were our beaches closed? I don't think our beaches were closed.
There were very, very few people there, at least on Saturday morning when I took my ride out to Soggy Peso and back around just to check the status.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had just like the Soggy Peso. They just got somebody at the gate there. Where's your COVID test?
Right? Well, and also had a ship docked out right off the coast there, so you weren't allowed to drink on the beach or anything, so...
Oh, and now that you're saying this, I think I heard that that Condominios Pilar, that area had been shut down.
Yeah.
And that and I saw that the cops set up a shop right there on the San Francisco beach.
Mm-hmm.
So just having their base station there would have deterred people from congregating in that area, because of course you're going to be questioned. That's where... In classic Mexican fashion, that would be the easiest place to bother people, would be right where you put your office.
And then there were all the tents for the Marines, the Marineras, I guess are. That was down kind of by El Mar in that next event center area. They were all down in there with tents and porta potties and trucks and everything.
Mm.
I stuck Fred's link in the chat, and I'll stick it on today's. This just looks like a big list of movies I've never heard of. Oh, hey, The Thomas Crown Affair.
That was a good
one. I haven't seen the original. I didn't realize, I mean, maybe I did at the time, but I didn't realize it was a remake. 1968. Cool. And The Italian Job. I guess I did know that was a remake.
The Italian Job was a great movie.
The Sting? I remember that.
That was a good one.
Dog Day Afternoon, I don't know. Blue Collar, I don't know. Thief from 1981. Michael Mann, I should know. You know, Michael Mann's the one that did Miami Vice back in the 80s. Fuchsia, you know, Stubble. You know, popularizing not shaving and wearing pink shirts under white jackets, driving sports cars. Die Hard, absolutely. One of the best movies ever. Best Christmas movie. Hey, Mom! And Linda, I'm sorry I didn't say hi. Linda, I saw you on there.
Hey, I'm still trying to get on with you. I have little challenges here, but I'll work at it.
Well, we were just having casual conversations and sharing classic movies from a link that Fred had shared with me earlier this week. 25 of the greatest heist movies ever. And your granddaughter's here because she's still on Easter vacation.
Hello.
Hey, baby. Hi, girl.
I'm playing Geometry Cat.
Can you see me?
Yes, hello.
Sorry to be late, but I've been trying to get on. Still haven't mastered the computer, I guess.
That's it. We've only been doing this for a year, so one of these days we'll get it together. It'll be the perfect meeting one of these days.
I find I'm better on the third year.
There we go.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, what else do we got? Did anybody bring any tech topics? We heard Judy's about ink.
Ink, yes.
Ink, if you want to get frustrated in this group, just start talking about printers.
Oh, God. We are anti-printer here.
I have a little bandwidth story to tell.
Sure, Chester.
Yeah. Well, when I first came here about a year ago, the only thing that was really available was CyberLink. And it hooks into the telephone service and was giving me 8 megabytes per second.
I'm not sure. Oh, CyberLink there in Arizona is what you're talking about.
Yes, CyberLink here in Arizona. And so I finally got tired of that because it was giving me such problems when I'm trying to download movies, etc. So I called up Cox. And for $10 more a month, I get 170 megabytes per second.
Ooh.
Well, that's not a hard decision to make.
No, it wasn't very hard at all.
There's an area in town that I've been asked to help with. A customer has built out in this area of town where I didn't know until, I don't know, 6 months ago that cable was running in that area. And so there are people in that area that have Telmex. Telmex hasn't done anything to update their infrastructure. So the customers on that are lucky to get 8. They typically get between 4 and 8. And then here, MegaRed has run cable, MegaCable has run cable into that area, and they're offering packages up to 100 megabits a second. And I'm talking to folks out there, and they're trying to decide what to do, because Telmex is promising them fiber optics sometime in the future. And you can bet my consulting, you know, my opinion is get on cable. That's a real thing right now. This fiber optics thing is a pipe dream. It's not here. They haven't even given you a date. Get on cable right now. The hesitation is that Mega Cable right now is requiring a 6-month contract. So the phone company is offering 30-day contracts, and the cable company is offering 6-month contracts. But you folks that frequent the United States, Canada, and Mexico can probably attest to how much cheaper internet is down here than those other locations. This 6 months of cable is like nothing to have a guaranteed fast connection while you wait to see if fiber optics ever show up.
Well, I had Mega Cable when I live there, and I consistently got 30 megabytes. So I felt like it was a good service.
Yeah, it's all right. We really have reached a point now where we are with a bunch of it's good enough services around town. It's not perfect, but it seems to be good. Like right now, I'm still fighting with bandwidth issues, even though at any moment I may have a lot of bandwidth. At the same time, I may have problems going up for a moment. And so doing something like this is very successful until all of a sudden it's not. And then give it a few more minutes and then it comes back and working again. I'm getting tired of living with good enough solutions. Anybody else have stuff they'd like to share today?
I was just going to say, Scott, you're good enough for us.
Well, thank you.
We'll just sit here and listen to you.
Bill's good at reminding me that I'm adequate.
No, you're more than adequate.
Thank you. I'm excelling at mediocrity.
There you go. Short of awesome, though. Short of awesome.
Yeah.
So, what they say, it's a journey, not a destination.
We always thought it was almost perfect.
So, Scott, I have my new computer here. Well, it's a year old. I don't count the COVID year as it being in existence. But so it I could never use the camera on it. I bought an external camera for it.
Okay.
Because whenever I tried to access the camera, it would say no camera found.
Right. Okay. I remember that. Yeah.
But for one instance of about 5 minutes, the camera worked in about a couple months ago before I bought the external camera. And now that I use the external camera, every once in a while, the computer camera works. So does that suggest a loose connection?
Not necessarily, but you can't rule it out either.
I just thought it was a connection in the hinge somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good possibility, especially if you're closing and opening and you're moving it around. It's par for the course. I think I would want to double check the drivers, make sure you got the right driver in it for the camera. Some of these cameras that are installed will install with some generic Windows driver when their manufacturer has a very specific driver.
So would it work intermittently?
Well, shouldn't, but no. If you have a bad driver, that might be a way to describe the bad driver, is that sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not.
Okay, here's the other problem. I'm sitting in my laboratory, my mad sinus laboratory.
Hey, Paul, to go back to that for just a moment, if it's still under warranty, it would be considered a manufacturer problem.
It's within the 2 years of Costco.
Yeah, so I mean, to me,
I just didn't want to send it away.
If you can't sort it out, I would totally send it away.
I spent a whole $20 on an external camera that works great.
Well, by all means, you let that $20 camera make the decision of whether you send back your almost $1,000 computer because it might be broken.
Well.
You know, you can have both. You could have a good working computer and a $20 camera.
My wife sent a computer back that was supposed to be back in a week, and it took 2 months to get it back.
Well, I mean, those are all...
From the manufacturer.
From
HP.
People have experiences like that from time to time. I just feel like if you... You know what, Paul? What I would do if I were you, I would back up what I've got on it that I'm concerned about and then wipe it fresh, like a brand new computer out of the box, that restore. And if the camera doesn't come back and work consistently after that, I would plan on sending it back under warranty.
Because
the software package they put out with it should be able to drive that hardware. And if it's not, then there's something wrong, and it's all under manufacturer warranty. But I wouldn't want to get... My biggest frustration with stuff like that is it may be not the only problem. Like, you're considering maybe it's a loose connection or a short in the wire. Well, that may be the case. Or it might be a motherboard. Or it might just be a bad assembly. And so right now you're only seeing a problem with the camera. But six months down the line, some other problems might start cropping up with it.
Well, my other problem is I'm sitting here with my old computer and my new computer. And I access my Cox internet fine. I get 200 down and 12 up. But when I use my old computer, it says connected, no internet.
To the same connection. You're still dealing with that?
Yeah, I'm still dealing with that because I've tried everything I could. The only thing I haven't done is look at the internet system between the two cameras and compare screen for screen for switches or something like that, you know.
Well, and it shouldn't be that hard. You should just get connected, and
You know what it tells me to do. It tells me to disconnect the modem and any other device between me and the modem, that hasn't worked.
I don't remember. Have you tried connecting that old computer to a different Wi-Fi network?
No.
You might just want to verify that it is absolutely a problem with the laptop by connecting it to another Wi-Fi network and seeing if it has the same problem.
Yeah, that's an idea. I'll try that.
And you're using that M5 network, and as my children have gotten an appreciation for, you could configure it to knock a piece of equipment off of your network and not have it back on until you told it to come back on. So I would review the M5 network settings that you've got just to make sure you haven't inadvertently knocked that computer off the network.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
That M5 network I'm referring to is that TP-Link Deco M5 mesh network we've talked about in the past. Paul's got a version of it. Bill's got a version of it. I've got a version of it. BB's going to go use the bathroom. And she'll be back in a moment.
Thanks for the information.
So if you guys are using that network, then we all have some experience with it. Oh, and Jim's using it as well. Not the Jim in front of us, but Big Jim. How come I'm forgetting his name at the moment?
Zvelg.
Zvelg. Yeah, thank you. He's also using the M5 network. Yeah, Bill.
I got a couple technical topics for you.
Oh, good.
Okay. Going to the printer problem, we got tired of rebuying our laser printer every time we had to buy replace a dried up cartridge. So when we were in, I think it was Staples, the guy says, well, what kind of printing do you do? And we say, well, we just usually documents. He says, all black and white. Says, yeah, we don't use color. Actually, most of the time we're set to black and white anyway. He says, well, why wouldn't you just get a laser printer? And that's what we did. We spent, $150 for this Brother laser printer. And it's the initial cartridge, that mini cartridge, ran out about a month ago, or was showing low toner. So I got on Amazon and I bought two refurbished toner cartridges for $20, and they print, suppose they're good for 2,000 each. So that was $20, and that'll probably last us until we don't need a printer anymore, I'm guessing. So we don't miss the color at all, unless you specifically need color. I mean, it's not worth it. And this is a scanner
photocopier. It's a multi-functioning device.
Exactly. Yeah. It's four in one or something.
Does it scan color? Could you scan a picture to your computer and it would have color?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It'll scan color.
Great.
And it will fax if you hook it up right. But that was our solution, and I'm perfectly happy with it. And it's Wi-Fi enabled, so we print from anywhere now.
We keep a laser printer in the office that's black and white strictly for helping people with copies. And, you know, you've got to have paper in front of faces, in hands at times.
There's
so black and white's acceptable.
Anyway, I got a question for you.
Oh, yeah, Jim has joined us. We've got all three Jims on screen today.
Oh, God, we're in trouble. Anyway, the other day we got out of the car in a parking lot, and this cable was laying on the ground. Now, it's got a small USB connector and the new type USB connector, the one you can flip over one way or the other.
So it's got the micro USB on one and the USB-C on the other side.
Exactly. What's that for?
That's for your, if you're a Macintosh owner with an old Android cell phone. It's a micro USB has been the standard for years now. So it's any device that you need to plug into a new computer. It's any device that's been around for a while, any standard device that needs to be plugged into a newer computer with the USB-C. So Android phone would satisfy that, because there's just tons of them.
What I did do, Cheryl's got a new Android phone with the newer connector, and okay. I have a Amazon Fire. And I connected it, and it did recognize one way. I just plugged it in just to see if the cable was any good. And it seems to work. I'm not sure what I'd use it for.
Yeah, no, actually, that's an interesting use case, because I wouldn't be surprised if that worked. Because we have these on-the-go cables. They're called OTG cables.
Yeah, we got a couple of them.
Yeah, and so, but this cable in your hand would satisfy many of those data parameters so that it could be bidirectional. You could put a USB-C device onto your Android tablet and treat it as though it's a device that's been added to it?
Well, it sort of falls into the category of tools that I have. It's called, don't know what it's for, don't know what I'd use it for, but God damn it, be handy if I do need it.
Just put it in the drawer. You know?
Yeah, I know, and then I'll never find it when I need it. I'll put it in I'll put it here so I won't forget it drawer.
That's right. Put it in that drawer that everybody hands me when I start asking them for a cable.
And, yeah, exactly.
And they're like, I don't know. Here, look in this box. Maybe there's something in this box.
Or yeah, the box in the back of the office of the hotels is full of chargers and cables.
That's right. That's
you,
actually
everybody so... knows that if you lose a charger or a cable, you just go back to the hotel that you were in and say, not even the hotel you're in, just say, I think I left my charger here, and they'll give you the box and say, is it in here? And away you go.
That is a life pro tip if I've ever heard one. People don't think about that. You don't even have to be staying at the hotel. You could probably just go in and, hey, I was here yesterday and I lost my charger.
Yeah. The other one that works real well is on the ski hill. If you get up there and your kids forgot their mitts, you know, you just go to the lost and found and say, hey, my kids lost their mitts. And they just give you the box.
When we were kids, we always got our mitts and poles there.
Oh, yeah.
I know you. I came out to find my poles gone one time. I'm like, who does that? Who does that? These Canadians do that.
You can tell the ones who do it because they have two different poles.
Yes, they have two different poles. Exactly. Yeah, two different skis.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Awesome life pro tips from Bill and Jim.
I have a question.
Yeah, Mom.
Yesterday, I had to go in for, I had to have a COVID test, even though I've had my shots, because I'm going to have a little eye surgery. And right at the point where I am trying to find testing where you can pull up and they'll come out, which I couldn't find, my phone froze. And I was supposed to call them, they'll come out and do the test. So I had to get out of the car, go in and tell somebody that I don't know where to go and park here and I'm here for a COVID test. So they came, they told me what to do. So I did, and sure enough, they came out and gave me the test. Meanwhile, the phone is still frozen. It will do nothing. So I don't know what to do with it.
Is it still frozen now?
I wanted to go on with this. I came home, plugged it in, watched it all day, still the same freeze. And then right before I went to bed, I looked down. It all had changed, all cleared up. Everything was fine. But I wasn't able to use the phone all day. Buying one of
those houses in the building. I'm sorry, was somebody chiming in there?
Carolyn?
No? Okay. Well, that's some odd behavior. And I would speculate there must be something in your phone. I would have hard reset it. And we talked about that last week. And there's a good webpage from Apple for the various models of iPhones and how to hard reset it. And it's typically a combination of buttons. I think before iPhone 10, you would hold the home button and the power button. In that state of frozen, you would hold those two buttons until it black screened and started up with an Apple logo again. So it would actually shut itself off and then start itself up again. But since iPhone 10, there's some different ways to restart it. The iPods restart a little different. And so let me see if I can bring up that page, because I'll link to it again. I linked to it last week. But it's whenever you felt like your iDevice has frozen, you can do this hard reset. And it's like pulling the plug on the device. It'd be like pulling the plug on your TV, waiting 10 seconds and plugging it back in.
Yeah, because I kept trying to shut it off. And when I would do that, it would send a medical alert. Or, I mean, would start us, you know, making beeping sounds loud. So I couldn't even hold it long enough to maybe shut it off.
Give me one second. I just realized my home page is displaying the wrong thing. Not that it matters right now, but I'd like it to display the right thing. Here it is. Apple, no. Force restart iPhone.
Okay.
There we go. Copy. I'm going to put this in the chat. I'll also add it to today's meeting, but you can find it on last week's meeting if you need it immediately. Good information for any person owning an iDevice. I see Fred's added a link to the chat as well. Oh, this is the... Yeah, I was going to get to this LastPass link. Any other questions? It sounds like it resolved itself, Mom. I'm imagining what probably happened is there's some timeout in the iPhone where it finally just gives up and does its own hard reset. Maybe it filled up memory until it was overflowing. Maybe something like that. I typically wouldn't trust the device coming back like that. I think I would want to shut it down manually and restart it manually just to feel comfortable that it's in the correct state. Because it sounds...
Okay, good. Yeah, well, I did that. Oh, so good.
Good, yeah, because you don't know at this point whether it's behaving the way it's supposed to be behaving or not. So you should start from a good state that you're aware of.
Okay. Can I add a couple of movies?
Yeah. Are we ready to do some recommendations?
Movies.
Actually, the first one I have is a documentary, but we didn't know it going into it. We didn't expect it. It's called My Octopus Teacher.
What? Yeah.
My Octopus Teacher.
On Netflix. I think we talked about that a few months ago.
It's supposed to be I'm really good. I missed that one. It is so wonderful.
Well, in summary, is it a series or a TV show or a movie?
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary movie about a diver.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Follow him. He's a writer. He's a writer who kind of loses himself, I guess, for a while. Probably, maybe he goes through a little 40 crisis just late or something. I don't know. But he's from Australia, so this isn't, or South Africa. Now I can't remember. One of those two countries. And it's all in English, though, so that's easy to follow. And he finds himself just going out into the shallow reefs around, a little deeper than shallow, because he does do a little diving with it without oxygen. And how he explores and the friend he finds down there, which just happens to be an octopus. We thought, when we first turned it on and saw it was a documentary, I said, oh, let's move on. I need a story. And all of a sudden, it just captured us, and we just couldn't get away from it. It was just wonderful. Really a feel-good kind of story. And then the other one we did on Easter, Scott, you will really appreciate this. I found a 1973 movie of Jesus Christ Superstar. It is wonderful. You see them coming in their entrance to the stage, and the stage, by the way, it's all done outdoors, is a bus load of people coming to this area. And it's in Jordan or somewhere around there, big desert area, and they find these old Roman ruins. And they do this whole show. It's low budget, I'm sure. This whole show from this ruins. And it is just, it was just absolutely wonderful. Your sister, of course, we sang most of the songs. And her daughters were wondering what we were doing. And so we were able to teach a little of Christ's story to them at that point, since one of them knew nothing. So it was just a very nice Easter day with that. And I highly recommend that 1973 because of the fact they wear the clothes and everything, you know, got the big bell bottom trousers, and it was just a nice go back to that period of time to watch that.
That's anyway, great.
Little opera.
Well, What you guys don't know is it was one of the 8-tracks in our camper van. And so my sister and I know the music quite well.
Every Sunday when we traveled, that's what we listened to.
He used to drive up and down the Alcan listening to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Anyway, I have my 1973 that was made. Yeah, that was my grade 12 year. And I was in a choir group that, it's my Easter movie, along with my Christmas movie, which is White Christmas. And then there's The Sound of Music for my birthday. So that's my three musicals.
That's wonderful. Where does Hamilton come into your...
I didn't really
Bill's birthday.
Hamilton. I started it, and I was having some hearing aid issues, and I couldn't get into it. But on the other hand, I could sing every word to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. I could sing every word, whether I knew it or not. So, you know, there was
Bill's more along the lines of Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
That's my music.
For your birthday.
That works. Anyway, I just had to share that because I knew Scott would really appreciate it. And I know a little more about how Scott learned his religious background.
So funny. And as far as Hamilton goes, Emily would be able to sing most of the words to Hamilton. She's a Hamilton maniac.
Okay.
Hey, Maggie's finally joined us.
I'm having trouble getting connected on my computer. I have to do it on my phone.
I'm noticing I'm having horrible technical problems on my end. Everything was working great up till a little while ago, and now it's just bloop, 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 bloop.
I fell off the meeting for a while.
Mine froze, and then, all I could get was a blank.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
What was that? Things are seeming very garbled at the moment. I'm not hearing very clearly people talking. Everybody looks frozen now.
That was Jim talking to his dog.
Oh, okay. And as far as Hamilton,
guys, I thought the mic was off.
Say hello.
Dog.
Say hi.
Hey.
Oh. Chester and Jim are both there. I started watching Succession, and... Chester had said something about language. I'm waiting to get more about the mergers and everything because those people are just plumb weird.
Well, yeah. They're a family.
Well, I guess there's that.
Is that how that works?
They're a dysfunctional family.
Yeah. I found it entertaining, and from a business standpoint, it had some real accuracies in it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm about 8 episodes in, but there's some pretty wacky people in that family. Like you say, it's family.
I can't remember now.
Anytime I'm in the same room, I walk by it and I say, "Are you still watching that shit?"
wait till you get to the last hour and you see that yacht.
Oh, yeah. Well, the house is pretty impressive.
Big Paul Allen.
No, it may have been Paul Allen's. Who knows?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Right. There's probably rented because nobody has that yacht for a movie. They just rented it from somebody.
Well, they probably rented everything, including tuxedos. But,
yeah.
Anyway,
Succession. Do we have any other recommendations? Hey, recommendations aren't just movies and TV. They can be websites or applications you've been using.
Books.
God forbid one of us is reading
the
a book.
Yeah, God forbid.
I've been watching Hunters. It's about Nazi hunters in New York. With Hunter. Al Pacino. Hunters
That's a TV series on Prime, isn't it?
It is.
Al Pacino?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They're like a covert Jewish group hunting down the last of Nazi offenders. Oh, or did I say that right? Offensive Nazis? I think you get the idea.
Offensive Nazi offenders.
What's the name of it?
Hunters.
I remember we really enjoyed it. It's been around at least for a year, but maybe a little longer. But I remember we really enjoyed it when we watched it.
And that's a series or a movie?
It's a series. Sorry, Judy.
Oh, it's a series on Prime Video.
And an easy recommendation. I was just looking through my watch list, seeing if there's anything. You know, I don't know. You know, you guys know I do a lot of superhero and sci-fi stuff. But there's weird stuff happening in the DC superhero world. And they've got these stories that are called Elseworld stories. And they fall way outside the realm of a superhero story. And I have been watching this series, it's on the second season, called Pennyworth. And Pennyworth is the background of Alfred Pennyworth, the butler of Bruce Wayne, the Batman. And it is great. It is after World War II, mafia-style story. And what it is it's just filling in the gaps of what Alfred's life was like before he came to work for the Waynes and raise the child that would become the Batman. There are no superheroes in this story. There's no superpowers. There's no science fiction going on. This is really a story about war heroes that have come back to build their legacy, to build their, to find their fortune, and the kind of problems they get into. And Elseworld is a label that DC gives to their comic books that don't follow their traditional canon. And so these are like what-if stories. What if Alfred was this secret, this special forces guy when he was a young guy and has this whole background working as protection and mafia and club owner? And it's just been a really good show. It's not a hard recommendation. And it's almost frustrating that it's tied to a superhero property, because I know that turns some people off, the idea it's not a superhero show at all. It's called Pennyworth. And somebody's going to say, where are you watching it? And I can't remember. I bet I'm watching it on Streamio or Kodi. I bet that's what I'm watching it on. But it's an easy recommendation. It is really well done.
I was watching 60 Minutes this last weekend. And they had the story of six Tongan teenagers who stole a boat and ran away from a boarding school. Anyways, they got marooned on an island, and they were there for 15 months. And the reason I found it really interesting was that there's now a writer out of New York who's writing about humankind. And he's basically looking at, you know, the premise of The Lord of the Flies was that these boys would get very selfish, and they would hurt each other and all this. And what these six boys found was that they stayed together and they worked together, and they survived 15 months on their own because of the way they treated each other and their love for each other. And
this is a documentary you're talking about?
Well, the 60 Minutes was an article about the boys, but it also led me to this guy that writes about humankind. So I've ordered the book. I want to see what all he has to do with it. But he basically wants to debunk the ideas that humans have at their core a negative kind of thing. And he feels that deep down we're all actually striving to work together.
I hear what you're saying. Like, there's that premise that if we don't have our structures and our rules, chaos reigns, that society collapses. We all become animals.
And yeah.
Give in to those natures, like Lord of the Flies.
Right. So
there's an interesting ending to this thing, too. they are rescued. Some yes. Australian finds them and brings them home. And they get to shore and they're immediately arrested for stealing the boat.
Ah.
So they thought they'd be welcomed back into civilization, and no, they were in jail or whatever. Anyways, the guy paid their fine or paid the boat owner, and everything was settled. And the guy that rescued them has remained best friends with one of them. And it was a really nice little, you know, 60 minutes story. The last one is always, right, a human interest kind of thing.
Is there a name, or if I wanted to go find this 60 Minutes story, how would I find it?
Well, it's Humankind is the name of the book that this author is written. Bergman.
Probably, Scott, you just search 60 Minutes Tonga shipwreck or something, and it'll pop.
Yeah, the Tongan. And it was the date was last Sunday. What was?
Oh, this is just on. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard this story before.
Well, I missed it. It was in the 60s. It was 1960. These six boys were lost at sea, and they had their funerals. They thought they were gone, and they came back. So.
We had a native tribe up here, one of the Tlingit. Tlingit Haida. One group, their boys had gotten into trouble. I think there wasn't there four, Scott, something like that. And the elders decided to send them off to an island to stay for a period of time rather than going. They were off to reform school, and they said, no, let's put them on the island. And it was really hard because they didn't give them much assistance. They just put them out there to kind of survive according to what the boys have to say. Now, the elders felt like they, I think, had kind of prepared them. But it wasn't more than a month or so, and somebody had to come in and get his braces adjusted. And then another one had to come in and have a physical. And then somebody got sick and had to come in. So I don't think that particular situation worked to the advantage of curing the boys of bad behavior. Maybe, I don't know, but it seemed like we never quite ended that. We never felt like it was ended. The boys just all of a sudden were back in normal society again.
So they were excommunicated from the community?
No, it was a punishment. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, an excommunication usually is a permanent thing, I think. I think these guys, it was to be a lesson for them to try and survive on their own and how hard it is to do
right.
now. Yeah.
Especially it seemed to be part of the culture of the natives here on the island, too, in British Columbia, that people, they we have this tendency to separate bad people and put them in prisons or whatever, separate them out. Whereas the natives, they just shamed them, and they were there and they had to be there, and everybody knew who they were. But if it got beyond so that it was a bigger problem, then they were just expelled from the community and went out to the Great Forest, which was shared with other tribes. And there are stories of them getting their act together but not coming back to the tribe they were with, but going and trying to associate with another tribe. So
yeah, wonder if they had braces.
this is time before braces that were in history, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's what was done up here too. But I don't think this was supposed to be a permanent punishment for those boys. I don't think they were supposed to be banned or anything like that.
It was just a vision quest.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it is interesting to think about. You think about those kinds of cultures as being so communal, so interdependent on each other, that to punish would be to take that away, that structure away from you, to give you an appreciation of how we're all working together and how selfish it is to put yourself outside of that. And here's what it is to really be outside that.
I think that might be part of the reason the Tongans worked so well together, because that was part of their culture before they started in the canoe.
Yeah, that's what they said, that you know, they were two of the men that were interviewed in the 60s.
I love the premise for the book. I sure hope it shows kind of how I feel. I've never believed in Lord of the Flies. I read the book and seen the movies, and I just have never felt like people function like that. I've always felt the opposite. I feel like in our hardest times, it's human nature to come together and help each other. And you can, you could find your, in the middle of a flood, you could find yourself helping the guy that robbed you down the street because you're going through this tremendous thing together. It's all of a sudden, everybody's at the same level. And that's a belief I hold. It's not something that I think maybe anecdotally it might be held up by way people behave. But I'm really curious to see how some research.
Well, it says that it's 200,000 years of human history that he kind of goes through and he tries to find examples of Homo sapiens and working together and stuff. But
it's got some out of here.
Bye, Dee Dee.
Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyways, it's a lot of different things in it, but it looks kind of interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'm flashing on Mutiny on the Bounty and the group that took the boat and landed some island where they continued on, but that they were more like Lord of the Flies. In the end, it didn't. That group of pirates, or not pirates, they were by then because they had mutinied, but anyway, they did not survive well, I guess.
Well, very interesting. What else we got, guys? I've got another article that that Fred provided, which I think is very timely. If you're interested, there is. I got through some of the article, but what it is basically is compare and contrast of all the different password managers that are available out there. And the inspiration was that LastPass has taken away that free tier. And so if you are going to pay for a password manager, then here are six considered best password manager alternatives. And they go through the pros and cons of each one of them in pricing. And so if you aren't aware of these options, here's an article that is, I think Fred has already stuck it in our chat for the meeting.
Yeah.
The iDrop News article. If you're looking for a replacement for LastPass, keep in mind there isn't a real good replacement for all the features of LastPass without paying. And that's kind of the premise that this article has, is that if you're looking to pay LastPass, maybe you should look at what else is out there. And somebody, I think it was Paul that brought it up last week about 1Pass. 1Pass is the number one on this list. So I found it
interesting. Yeah, that's what we got.
Yeah, you're on 1Pass. You had a consultant that was recommending it.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, my tech consultant, she lives with us.
Truthfully, my experience with this kind of stuff, it has big gaps in it. I adopted the LastPass a couple of years ago, and long, long before that, I used to use a thing called RoboForm. But I am not somebody that has sat down and compared and contrasted all these different password managers. And the article, actually, right at the beginning of it, does make a point that out of all of these, LastPass has had a lot of press for different problems that they have had with security. So now they're taking away features unless you pay for them, and they have a history of some security issues. Maybe that's enough to prompt you to look somewhere else for a password. Anyway, I'll put the link on today's website. Is anybody using any password manager other than... Oh, there's RoboForm. Number six, didn't even know it was a thing still.
How are they doing? They're in Germany?
Anyway, Scott, I use LastPass.
Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry. I was just being a smartass.
Yeah, I know. I'm using LastPass, and I'm totally hooked on it. I mean, I use it, when you go to a new site or need a new password, it generates one for you. And there, I have no hope other than to look it up, open it up, and try to copy it if I didn't have LastPass. It's just, it's almost indispensable to me now.
Bill, I got to agree with you. I have gotten completely hooked on LastPass. I've done the same thing. I generate passwords all the time. I probably 80% of the places I go now I couldn't get into if I wasn't using LastPass, because the passwords are uniquely different and difficult to remember. They're nonsensical. You know what I'm talking about. They're just nonsensical garbage.
And I'm only using the the medium strength ones. I don't know. God help me, what the full strength ones would look like. I mean, if you got 50 characters long, all mixed up.
I think we should do is we should come up with our essential list of features that we expect from a password manager, and then go out looking for the one that satisfies that criteria. Because I've learned so much from LastPass that I would want in a different password manager if I switched. I was going to say one of those features is, I don't know if you looked at it, Bill, but you can ask it to generate a password based on the how complex it is, would be based on things like whether it's readable. So you can dial in the complexity of the password based on whether you can read it easily or if you can say it easily. Like, those are two different criterias. And I've played a little bit around, because when you look at it on the screen, you're like, well, that just looks like a nonsense password. But then you start reading it out loud, like you're shouting it across the room. And it's so much easier to shout than one of the other nature where you're doing. Okay, now it's that, what's that called that you do, the ampersand, the and sign. Now do that. And the one that looks like a star, right, versus CLH5. And so LastPass has done a good job of being able to dial in to generate passwords that follow a flow like that, for lack of better terminology.
There you go. I don't know. I have all of my social insurance number, my healthcare numbers, my driver's license stuff. They're, all of them are in there now. So, and the problem is that they split off the iPhone. And that's where I use those numbers. People ask me, you need to fill something in, and I look it up on the iPhone. Now I can't do that. So I'm almost hooked into paying the monthly charge. Cheryl will have disagreed. She doesn't use it at all.
Well, and when they made this switch, I told you guys I intentionally chose the desktop versions, because this is what the switch they made is. If you're not paying for LastPass, you had to choose whether you're going to use it on your mobile device or you're going to use it on your desktop devices. But they weren't going to let you do both for free, because they're nudging you into buying service. And so that's how they were going to nudge you. They were just going to take some of the features away for you. And I still value it most on the desktop. But I'll be damned if I'm not out in the wild going, oh, what was that password? And I can't look it up because I didn't choose to use the mobile version.
Well, I have the misfortune to associate with women that have a memory for numbers. And Cheryl is one of them. The other one is my ex-wife. And I swear to God, she bought a brand new Karmann Ghia in 1972. And I'll bet money that she can recite that damn serial number right now. How the hell do you do that? I don't understand. And my ex-wife is a complete math phobe. She doesn't understand numbers at all, like mathematics. But she can remember numbers.
Well, I can't remember.
She's got your number.
Yeah, she had my number.
There were passwords in my head that I don't remember now because I trusted them to LastPass, because it made it so easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if any of you find yourselves working with other password managers, Paul, I'd be really interested in hearing about your experiences with OnePass, OnePassword. But if there's a, what is, Fred, you're using one, aren't you? Were you using RoboForm? Somebody, I think, was using RoboForm. Still, I haven't used it in years.
No, I'm using LastPass.
Oh, you're on LastPass as well. So, yeah,
and
I think it would,
I got from that article was, it starts off and says the LastPass has something like 10 holes in it.
Well,
security holes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they did a good job. I think they've all been patched, all the security issues. Vulnerability has recently been found with at least 7 different types of tracking software. So if your vulnerabilities are tracking, maybe that's a little different than security.
Who's doing the Darth Vader thing?
That's, I think, Fred. That's Fred.
That's me.
I am your father.
It looks like Linda left the meeting, but she put something into the chat where she said, I had LastPass also. I took it out after a hack. I don't have anything now.
Okay. Well, Linda, but come back and tell us what you're talking about.
On my, like, I use Google Chrome as my browser all the time, and a lot of my, it keeps giving me a message, you know, do you want me to save this password? And I usually tell it no, and then it will tell me, I have a couple of things that I don't mind it knowing my password to, and it tells me that I have a list of 20 that have been compromised, and that I should go to my Google account. And I have gone to it and seen what passwords they're saving and things like that. So
this is another feature we want in a password manager, is one that looks at your passwords and then compares them to because there are public databases out there of all these hacks. And
yeah.
And in the public database, it will have your email address and associated password. And yeah. So a good password manager can go and check those lists and see how your passwords are stacking up. And advise you in the ones that need to be changed.
I think, Scott, you'll find that people who don't use a password manager have at max maybe 3 or 4 or 5 passwords that they keep reusing all the time, which is just as dangerous as having a password manager with a hole in it.
I would hope at this point in the computer club that we all understand that. As inconvenient as it is, as painful as it is to have a different password for everything, that is the most secure way to do things. And you're really leaving yourself open to a compromise if you're using the same password everywhere. It's just common knowledge in hackers to take that info and use it somewhere else to see if they can get in, especially if they know what you're doing. And I used to use the example of you may enjoy a quilting site to get patterns for your latest creation, but you don't want to use your bank password on the quilting site because they've definitely not invested as much time into security as your bank has. And if somebody wants to get into your bank account, they're going to get into your quilting account first because that's the easy one. And then they're going to use your password and username from there on your bank account to try and get it.
That's another nice feature about LastPass is they will alert you that you're using the same password in more than one place. It tells you should do something about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely a great feature. See, we need to start a feature list, Bill. We got to put together a feature list of what we expect from a password manager. Yeah.
A mouse? You got a mouse in your pocket?
No, you're part of the we. You're just denying
it.
Oh,
I see.
When I say I mean you and me, buddy.
Oh, I see.
We use the term woo.
Woo?
Instead of woo should do that.
Meaning we who. It's a contraction.
Yeah. I just typed in, you know, password Google, and it's got a password checkup that I can do. It tells me that I have 119 sites and apps that I can search my password for inside Password Manager. So,
well, whoopee do.
I don't know if that's a feature you want, that it will list all of the sites that they have, you know.
Yeah, I think, is it LastPass that will actually take you to that site? Like, you get a report of what's your security level. Well, actually, you get a report on your security level every time you visit a site. It'll tell you whether you're... it'll tell you if it's a force secured password. Like, it'll flash, it'll change the icon color, and it'll draw your attention to a notification. And the notification will be, you have a lousy password on this website. You should change it.
Well, the one indication of how useful it is I haven't gone back to my journal and looked up my password page in about a month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a good argument for maybe you want to be paying for a service to do this for you. I mean, maybe there's some real security in making somebody that's making a business that's made a business out of this in charge of that kind of stuff instead of a hodgepodge. I don't know. I every so often have to rewrap my head around this stuff because it's always growing. It's always changing. I'm not scared of having apps in the cloud, whereas 5 years ago I wouldn't recommend it at all. But now we all have fast enough internet everywhere that it's not inconceivable to think that you could be editing videos and documents and all that could all reside out in the cloud, and the device in front of you is nothing more than a window to those applications. Opinions change based on technology as it grows.
I find the challenge is to remember the password for those in the cloud kind of things.
LastPass.
That's what I think. Who am I, Scott? We're trying to figure out my Google thing, and I had a page full of all these different Google passes I have used. Took us a while to find the right one.
Well, and you know what helped with your situation, Mom, which is really interesting because a lot of these websites now are doing it. I think Google does it often. I think Microsoft does it as well, is for a secondary type of authentication when you can't remember your password. If you're on a computer, the actual hardware and the browser that you've signed into this service before, that's a fingerprint that they will use to verify that you've had access before from this location. It's kind of like the old, are you calling from the number you're reporting with the phone company? Are you using your computer and the web browser you've used in the past to get to Amazon? Because I don't think we would be able to have changed your password if we hadn't been on your particular computer using that particular web browser that had been signed in before. It's neat that they can do that kind of stuff.
Well, thank you, Scott, for helping.
You're welcome. We've kind of wandered away from the recommendations, but I just thought of another TV series that we just recently watched that was very interesting, called The One. It's a new sci-fi on Netflix. It's English. And the premise is that some scientists figured out how to match with your soulmate based on chemical reactions and some tracking DNA that they can do. But they're able to upload your DNA into a large database and find your soulmate. This is another one of those shows where the premise is really stupid, but the show is great. What the show is great for is the social repercussions of such a system. How does that affect our lives when there's a whole culture of people out there doing like 23andMe, and they can find the person that they are guaranteed true happiness with, right? Like you get an email back saying this is the person that you could spend the rest of your life in deep love with. And how does that affect you if you're married, if you're on some other course? I mean, maybe you're training for a religious order, or maybe you thought that you were your sexual tendencies were for a different gender. All these things are coming up in this show. We've actually finished it. We watched the entire, we just binged through the entire season. And so I think the premise is really dumb. I don't believe that you could do this. I think soulmates are a very abstract concept, and what they mean to me aren't the same thing as what they mean to you. At the same time, the social repercussions of something like this happening are very real. And that's what keeps the show very, very interesting, is how does society deal with people that are behaving in this manner, where there's a whole culture of this. And it's not a question of whether this could be your soulmate. In this world, that is your soulmate. What are you going to do about it now? Maybe you're already married with kids. Maybe if you're married with kids, maybe you shouldn't have taken the test. You should have just stayed away.
Considered yourself already happy.
Yeah, you're already happy. Don't push. Yeah. Don't rock the boat.
You're happy.
So I'd like to add that to our list as well. I think it's definitely worth watching. Just maybe don't watch the trailer for it, because you'd be like, this is really dumb. This is, why would I watch this?
To pass the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I started watching one on, I don't know, on Stremio is where I saw it. It was Made for Love. It's, I don't know, it's, I just barely started watching, but I read the write-up on it, and it sounded pretty interesting. It's a sci-fi type thing. Anybody that's out scouting looking for interesting stuff might want to try it. I have no recommendation for it. I've only watched the first 15 minutes of it.
Is it a movie?
It's a series.
A title like that makes it sound like it's about sex dolls.
Close. I believe.
Oh, Scott.
Made for Love.
Well, it's something. Some girl escapes out of a relationship and winds up with her estranged father, who just happens to have one of those, I believe, is how this sort of comes about. But the write-up was pretty interesting.
It's 2021. It's new. It looks like it's being released on Paramount Plus. I've brought up the synopsis here. It's drama, fantasy, sci-fi, comedy. And the write-up reads like this. 30-something Hazel Green tries to escape a suffocating marriage until she realizes her tech billionaire husband has implanted a revolutionary tracking device, the Made for Love, in her brain.
Wow.
Did she get a vaccine? Is that what happened?
Right. You'd think if he was a tech billionaire, he would have already just been able to track her phone.
Some of the sci-fi doesn't make sense, because we already can think, why didn't they do this? Why, you know, I just finished The Expanse, and I'm floundering here what will be next, because that was awfully good. They use bullets in that, which I thought was so weird, or something like a bullet.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about that last time, Mom. I actually really appreciate that about that kind of sci-fi. To me, that's like dirty, gritty sci-fi. It's like Blade Runner-type sci-fi, Philip K. Dick-type sci-fi, where it's not a pretty future. It's a future that's built right. It's 5 minutes in the future. It directly descends from where we are right now.
Out in outer space.
Yeah, yeah. It just, yeah, right. We're still the miserable, short-sighted, dangerous people we've always been. We just now have spaceships, and we're doing the same garbage out in space.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it too. Sad.
It's not Star Trek, and I really want Star Trek.
Because that's real.
No, it's not. But it'd be so awesome if it was real. All of a sudden, nobody was concerned about making money, and they were just concerned about discovery. We would be a better place, I think.
Yeah.
Well, what else we got? I got one more topic that I thought some of you might find interesting. LG is getting out of the smartphone business.
Hmm.
Some of you have probably owned LG phones. They are actually really good equipment. I have found myself on occasion recommending an LG phone. I haven't owned one personally, but I've had customers that have been very satisfied with the South Korean company. But they can't seem to compete in a world dominated by Apple and Samsung. And so they're pulling out their whole mobile. Here's the part of this story that I found so fascinating, is that they are getting out of something that's just crazy, like mobile phones, so that they can get into a more realistic market area, such as electric vehicles, robots, artificial intelligence, and smart home devices. That's where we are in 2021. A lucrative company like LG has decided that smartphones aren't going to work for them, so they're going to concentrate on things that really matter, like artificial intelligence and smart home items, electric cars. I just think that whole premise wouldn't fly at all 10 years ago. we would be reading out of a science fiction magazine. That would not be a headline in a press release, or that wouldn't be a point in a press release. That would be some point in a sci-fi novel. Where I don't know if you're following my line of thought, but smartphones are so passé. There's no market. There's no money to be made in them. The leaders of our, I mean, it's like trying to make another cola against Pepsi and Coke. It's already been summed up. Anybody making cola is just making pennies. So they're going to go on to more realistic places to make money, like electric cars and artificial intelligence.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
There might be a market for a new cola since the Republicans are going to quit drinking it. Except for Trump, who hides it behind his phone when he's not getting pictures taken.
That's awesome about the Trump aspect of that threat. I completely disregarded till just this moment. He's the Diet Coke connoisseur, isn't he?
Yes.
He had a button on his desk that he could call in Diet Cokes.
That's one of the first things that Biden got taken off out of the Oval Office was the Coke button.
I think what ego. He wanted a button on his desk for something. That's what he wanted. He's the president of the United States. There should be a button on this desk.
If he was going to push a button, I would rather it was for Diet Coke than nuclear bombs.
That's right.
Maybe that was the trade-off.
Yeah.
I think that's his sense of humor. I think the button, there ought to be a button on this desk because I'm the president. What can I use the button for? And then he'd invite people in to have a meeting, and he'd freak them out by hitting the button every so often.
That sounds
the butler showed up with a Diet Coke every time he pushed it.
That's right.
He did it to impress the people that came to see him. He'd push the button, and the door would spring open, and the guy came in with an ice cold Diet Coke.
Yeah. It's too bad he's not more creative. A pneumatic tube would have been really cool. You could hit the button and it just pops up on the desk.
I don't know. The states have Staples stores, don't they? Staple products?
Yes. Some are still around.
Years ago, they used to have an ad, and they had this great big red button that you could add in their ads, and you'd hit it, and it would say, that was easy.
That's right,
and you could buy those. You could buy them and have. And every time I heard of Trump and his button, his Coke button, I thought of that. That's easy. That was easy button.
That was the image I thought.
It's better. It's better to train your dog to fetch a beer out of the refrigerator, though.
I showed my daughter how to do that. She got him trained, so he would bring a beer.
That was our one grand puppy. Yeah. They were together, daughter and puppy, on a fire watch tower. And she was training him to do all kinds of things. And the one that she did get, you know, there was a cloth hung on the door. And he would go over and open the fridge and knew how to pick up the can of beer and bring it to her. So
I hope amazing. I hope she concentrated on that after potty training. Just keep your priorities straight. Otherwise, she might have a drinking problem.
in the terms of hunting dogs, you want to make sure he has a soft mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's right.
I can think of a few dogs that, if they were given the opportunity, would be drinking the beer out of the fridge.
Yeah, they just chop it and drink it.
Yeah.
If you have a hunting dog, you should never play tug with it.
Right. Probably no dog you should play tug with.
Scott, you talked about the drawer, and you just mentioned LG. Yeah. Every time we went to the States, I would try to buy a track phone or, you know, go at Net 10, all those different cell phones that you can get real cheap at Walmart. So I have, I think, 4 LG flip phones. Bill has at least 3 Palm Pilots, Becom. What's the other one? The one that's called
Pocket PCs.
No. Bill's talking. Two Blackberries.
That's what I was talking about. Blackberry. We have Blackberry phones. We have Blackberry things. You know, there's a stack, and all of them have 1 or 2 batteries, spares, and chargers, and the whole big bag full of them. Yeah. Well, my granddaughter day she won a little red one, so she now has a little phone.
There's the bag.
That's the bag from the drawer of all the LG phones.
That's it.
I have a funny little cell phone story because they, you know how they, oftentimes you'll see children, you know, that are young, you know, under 3 years old, and they'll be around, sitting around the kids or the young people that are the parents, and all the parents will be on these little phones, and the kid will be looking around for what to do, and we realized that one little girl, Brooklyn, she had domino. That she'd taken out of the thing, and it was her cell phone. She would push all the little buttons and talk on the cell phone to herself. The domino.
Oh, Jim, you just gave me flashbacks of my kids when they were younger. There was a certain age that I gave each one of them a cell phone. So Bibiana didn't have a cell phone when her sister had a cell phone. Well, everybody else has cell phones. So we would try and do things like restrict what they were doing, like using tablets or using computers. Like, all right, we're going over to Abby's house. No tablets or computers. And very quickly, we were made aware that means everyone in the family can bring a cell phone, except me, Poppy, because I don't have a cell phone. So I'm the only one without a screen when we go over to Abby's, because you won't let me bring my tablet. So you get over to Abby's house, and Mom's got a cell phone she's digging through, and Pop's got a cell phone he's digging through, and even Sister's got a cell phone she's digging through, and Bibiana's sitting there going, you guys suck. This isn't fair.
Okay, I got a small technology story. I knew that we had crossed into a different era when I all of a sudden realized that if you took a picture of a little kid, they immediately ran over to you and wanted to see the picture.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and before that, you had to wait for the pictures to come back from developing. You know, all of a sudden, I realized, well, we are in a different time zone now. I mean, it was just that one moment I saw that kid run over and pull a hand down and look at the back of the screen.
It sure made them better posers, though, because they got the feedback quicker and they realized what was happening. So they
well,
a lot of them
not,
I've met
not
kids.
Only yeah. so not only that, you get better pictures now. Before, like if I look at the pictures taken when I was a little kid, most of the pictures taken were of family when somebody came to visit, and you were all stood up against the wall or against the garden. And the person taking the picture was about 40 feet back, and it was what I call the standard family picture. It just, everybody's in a row, all standing there, click, and that's it. That was it. That was the picture for the month. That was it.
Right. Documentation.
And now you take 1,000 photos knowing at least 3 of them are going to be great.
Well, and you can't find them either.
Well, and now we have so much storage capacity and bandwidth to put it up in the cloud. You take 1,000 pictures, and you don't even bother to delete the 907 that you don't want. You just leave them sitting out there.
Well, and then you can't remember the password to find them in the cloud anyway. So I'm waiting for my handheld transponder. I just think that will solve all these problems.
The handheld transponder. What are you referring to?
From being up, Scotty.
Okay.
It's also in the Expanse. They all had handheld transponders. They could do anything. They could map all of the solar systems, and they could shoot, you know, messages. They can take pictures. Everything. They could almost heal themselves by their handheld transponders. This is really good.
You know, we were talking about the Expanse being kind of an extension of reality as we know it. So it's dirty. It's got bullets. Well, the phones were really what you're describing was really interesting as well, because as you're looking at the different classes, people in the Expanse, people that don't have as much money have broken what'd you call that? I didn't realize it was called a transponder.
I think it's transponder. I think that's the word they used.
But we would see somebody using a broken transponder where it had a cracked screen, even though it was projecting a holographic screen, their side screen would have a crack going through it, and they'd just be making it work the same way we do with our cell phones right now. You'd never see a cracked screen on Star Trek. Nobody would put up with that line. They would chuck it in their I've lost the name of it now. The machine that builds everything. What is that called? The
computer? No.
No, they had machines that would build food, it would build electronics, it would build anything it had a computer schematic for. Replicators.
Was it the replicator?
Thank you, Jim. That was what I was looking for. Replicator. They would just chuck the broken screen into the replicator recycler and get another phone out of the replicator. They wouldn't tolerate a broken screen.
Or use it for fuel in Back to the Future. In their Lamborghini.
Fun.
Exactly. Well, guys, I am running out of time. I have to let you guys go. Is there any last minute things we need to share with each other before we call this to an end? Any?
Cheryl got her COVID shot today.
Yay, whoa. Cheryl!
Is it one or two that you have to have?
Number one.
This is my first one of the Pfizer, and when he gave me my slip that said, you will be contacted in 16 weeks, because that's when I'm supposed to get my second one. They've done 4-month interval in our province.
No, I was thinking about it, and that 3-week minimum you're talking about must be the thing that I'm just hearing when I'm thinking of these time limits. And it's not, it's about being ready for the next shot. It's not necessarily how long you can be ready before you get this shot. This is the first time I've heard a max, like a maximum. It sounds like they've pushed out your date all the way 4 months because that's still effective.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have different reasons for choosing the 4 months, but the biggest one is so that we can get more people done with one shot. They might bring that up shorter because I am immune suppressed. So they're still looking at all the science, but yeah, we'll see.
Carolyn and I are going on the 23rd this month.
The 4 week or the 16 weeks, I think, is based on what they think their supply is going to be, and that the supply that is going to get all the people vaccinated once, which is your really maximum, your first really good shot of protection. The 3 week one is the minimum. It's no point in getting one before 3 weeks are up because it's no booster effect until you wait for that long.
You still haven't developed any antibodies, and so there's no reason to even get into it.
Yeah, there's no effect if you get it ahead of 3 weeks. I know for a fact that these limits are going to change because the vaccine is becoming more and more available. Yeah, the United States is going to max out. They're going to have surplus here pretty soon, and they're going to start distributing it. The companies are going to be able to supply other countries in our supply is going to increase, and we'll hear in another month or so that it's going to open right up. I know it will.
The other thing he said was that I'm not allowed to have another vaccine like the pneumonia or the any of the other ones.
That's interesting.
For 4 weeks and 2 weeks before my next one. So he asked me, have you had a vaccination in the last 14 days? So I can say no. And I have to be able to answer that question before they'll give me my next COVID shot. They also warned me, don't have another vaccination for the next 4 weeks. 2 weeks prior, 4 weeks after.
Do you think that's unique to you, Cheryl?
No, I think that's...
No,
that's
no they told me the same thing.
That's what our health people are saying.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to ask the same question if that was unique to your situation.
They don't know for sure, but they think the other vaccines will interfere with this one. They conflict.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
So no shingles, no none of those other ones. I'm up to date on all the other ones. So
Well, very good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm sorry I have to say goodbye. I have work coming up, and I've got to get out of here. As I've said in the past, you guys are welcome to stick around and talk to each other, but I've got to go.
Oh, no, you're the cement that holds us together.
Oh, thank
we
you.
We just talk about you, Scott. You know.
So. Well, it's good to know you talk about interesting, creative topics.
I have some real interesting things to share.
Mom
Scott.
Is not allowed to be in that conversation. Mom is only allowed to be on screen when I'm on screen.
All right, tech bye on, bye. Scott.
I'm just kidding. Tech Mom's on. A great person to talk to. You'd be lucky to talk to my mom.
Yeah, right.
Thank see you guys. Bye. Love you, Mom.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
See bye. You guys.
Bye.
Check on. See you, Fred. That was the San Carlos Computer Club, brought to you by me, Scott Stimson, from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer help out there on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you try giving me a shot. I can get into your system remotely, help you over the phone, whatever it may be. You can get help by emailing remote@internationalcs.net. Any questions or interest in our group, you can find our website at sccclub.org, where I host links to the YouTube videos that we create and the podcast. You can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just search for The San Carlos Club. Until next week, I hope you guys have an awesome time and explore new tech. Until then, tech on.